بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، today is the 16th of Ramadan of 1447, corresponding to the 5th of March 1447, 2026. Insha'Allah, this will be our 21st Majlis. We stopped at verse 59, so today we will start from verse 60. So, but before then, there is a... Do we answer the question now, Kokwa? So... So that is a question. Okay. So, assalamu alaikum. I wish Malam a blissful and blessed Ramadan. May Allah accept our ibadah and have mercy on the souls of our departed parents. Ameen. My question is about my wife's niece. She lost her parents and we took her in to raise her together with my daughter. I love her as if she is my biological daughter. Now that she is approaching the age of puberty, do I have to stop hugging her and showing physical affection the way I show my daughters and nieces? Okay, the niece of your wife, you can't marry her, but not permanently. You can't join her in marriage with your wife, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an tunkaha al-mar'atu wa khalatuha wa an tunkaha al-mar'atu wa ammatuha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the marriage of a woman together with her maternal aunt or together with her paternal aunt. So if the same thing, so if one of if the the same thing will apply to the niece, because the niece of your wife is her aunt, she's her aunt. So if you marry her, you will be joining a woman and her aunt together in marriage, and that is prohibited. So she is not a permanent mahram for who under the Sharia you can touch her and you can see parts of her body that is not haram, but for her she is a temporary prohibited person for you to marry. In such a case, you can't be hugging her as you will hug your daughter or your own niece. It's not permissible, but you can show affection to her, and you can show affection to her and treat her as your daughter, and treat her in terms of relationship in the house as your daughter. Maybe in such a situation, if you can take the madhab of Aisha, suckle her, let your wife suckle her, so she becomes your daughter by suckling your foster, she becomes your foster daughter. Because in such a situation where she's already part of the household, she grew up together with you, so as to make the prohibition permanent. Then he said, secondly, he said, there is a sin I committed in the past that I regret and I constantly feel bad about. Sometimes I feel like I should not be asking Allah for anything because of that shame. How can I handle this? Once you seek forgiveness of Allah and you sincerely repent and you regret your action, you should move on. Don't reflect over the evil of what you did. And if you remember the sin, you should also remember the forgiveness of Allah. That Allah has said, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. I am the oft forgiving for the one who repents and believes and walks righteously. So whenever you repent, Allah accepts your repentance. So somebody should not be remembering only the sin without remembering the forgiveness of Allah. When you remember the sin, remember also the forgiveness of Allah. Because this feeling, it can make you have bad opinion of Allah. And it can make a person to be, it can make a person to be, to open the door of despair. Yarhamukallah, loss of hope. Which is one of the ways that Iblis uses to take people away from Allah, by making them have a feeling of despair. It is from Shaitan. He will be telling you that maybe you are, you should be ashamed of yourself and that and that. But he will not make you remember that Allah forgives, so that you look at the mercy of Allah and the beautiful names of Allah and the beautiful attributes of Allah. Because he hates Allah and he hates us. So he will not, he will be giving you thought, negative thoughts about Allah. So regarding this question, he should just move on. And always, whenever he remembers the sin, let him also remember the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah. Bismillah, with this tazkar Musa.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه فقلنا اضرب بعصاك الحجر فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا قد علم كل أناس مشربهم كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين.
نعم. I think we'll be taking verse by verse. Yeah. The recitation. وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه. And remember when Moses prayed for water for his people. فقلنا اضرب بعصاك الحجر. We said, strike the rock with your staff. فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا. Then 12 springs gushed therefrom, that is from the rock. قد علم كل أناس مشربهم. Each group knowing its own place for water. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ. So eat and drink from the sustenance provided by Allah. وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. And do not do no evil on earth by mischief. Do no evil and mischief on earth. That is, do not cause corruption in the land. Al-fasad is corruption or mischief. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, when Musa prayed for water for his people, that is water that they will drink from. The فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِأَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. This was when they were in the wilderness, in the desert of Sinai. 40 سنة يتيهون في الأرض. When they were in the wilderness, they didn't have a place, they didn't have houses, they didn't have a specific place. It was said they will move in the morning, move looking for a place, and then when they settled down in the night, in the morning they will find themselves in the same place where they left in the morning. And they continued doing that for 40 years. So during that time, they were under extreme thirst, no source of water. So Musa alayhi salam, he prayed to Allah to provide water for them. That is the meaning of istabqa. Then we said, strike the rock. The rock, al-hajar, here the descriptions, it's all from what our scholars of tafsir read from the books of the Israelites, from the Israeliyat. They said that the rock was square in shape, and they even mentioned the size, 1 arm's length by 1 arm's length. From each, so it had four corners or four sides. So each, from each side there will be 3 springs gushing forth. وَرُوِيَ أَنَّ آدَمْ كَانَ أَحْبَطَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. It was reported that Adam came down with it from paradise. وَقِيلَ هُوَ جِنْسٌ غَيْرَ مُعَيِّنٌ. It was said that it was just a kind of rock without specifying what kind of rock it was. وَذَلِكَ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْإِعْجَازِ. And this is, in terms of miracles, this is more miraculous. It is most miraculous. So to say that it's not a specific kind of rock, it was just a rock. To show that Allah has got power over everything. Because it was a rock that was brought from paradise, it will say it is because it was from paradise. فَانْفَجَرَتْ أَيْ فَضَرَبَهُ. Because the verse says, when he prayed for water for his people, فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِأَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. So when he was instructed to strike the rock, it was not, it didn't follow immediately from the instruction, but he struck the rock, but it is not mentioned. So he struck the rock, and then 12 springs gushed forth. But you see, in the Quran, and this is one of the features of the Arabic language, some things are not mentioned because they will be understood from the context. So here it said, we said, strike the rock with your staff. Then he struck the rock, and 12 springs gushed forth. But that he struck the rock was not mentioned, because it is known, when we said strike the rock with your staff, and 12 springs gushed forth, it was not just on account of the statement of Allah, because yes, he said strike the rock, but he did strike the rock, but it was not mentioned. You understand? This happens in the Arabic language a lot. You know, as parts are not mentioned because they are understood from the context. This is part of eloquence, because to mention what is known is like superfluous. It's like you are treating people as though they are dull. But because eloquence addresses people, knowing that these are people who are intelligent people and they understand. So out of conciseness, things that are clear and understood, you don't have to mention them. You don't have to mention them. But there are instances when you mention everything, when the context deserves that. And we'll be seeing examples in the Quran. Mashrabahum, the place of drinking of the water. There were 12 tribes. Each tribe had its own spring where it will drink from. each group knew its own place for water. كلوا واشربوا. كلوا, they were asked to eat and eat. From what will they eat? From the المن والسلوى. واشربوا من الماء المذكور. From the water that was mentioned here. Okay. ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين, and they were commanded not to it was said كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله, أي from the sustenance that Allah has provided for you without any effort, without any hardship. They didn't look for it. They didn't have to dig a well. But when they settle, they will dig a well, fetch water, and then they will continue moving, look for another well, or they will go in search of a spring. No, it was with them. Whenever they needed water, Musa alayhi salam, he will just strike the rock, and then water will come up. Look at the extent of the favor of Allah. And they, no stress. And also what they needed to eat, it was just coming down from the sky. Yeah, the rock was with them. The rock used to be with them. And it could be that any rock. This is the third tafsir. Strike the rock. That is, pick any rock and strike it. And it could be a specific rock. Actually, it was said that it was a specific rock, but this is also from the Mufassirin. You know, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was mentioned that part of what the Bani Israel did of harm to Musa alayhi salam was that they were spreading rumors that he had an abnormality. They were spreading bad news about Musa alayhi salam, that he had an abnormality in his private parts, that his testes are enlarged, and that was why he used to hide himself when bathing, because it was their practice, they used to bath together. Even in their Sharia, there was nothing wrong for them to bath in public together. So they were able, but Musa alayhi salam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, he was a very shy and modest person. So he used to seclude himself to take bath. So the Bani Israel, look at how they dishonored their Prophet, their leader. They said, he is hiding himself because he wants to hide his abnormality, but there is another word for it.
Deformity.
Yes, he had a deformity. He was hiding his deformity. So one time when he put his cloth on top of a rock, and he was bathing, when he finished bathing, the rock flew away with his cloth. And Musa alayhi salam, he followed the rock, and he was saying, Thawbi hajaru, bring back my cloth, you rock, bring back my cloth, O rock. Till he got the rock, and till when Allah willed for the Bani Israel to see him, they saw Musa clearly with his nakedness, and there was no deformity. So the rock stopped, and Musa alayhi salam, he hit the rock. And on account of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You can see the mark. Not actually just a simple mark, but it created holes on the rock. This is also part of miracle, part of mu'jiza of Musa alayhi salam. He hit it so hard that it showed."
Indentation.
Yes, it became indented in several places. Dent.
So it was said that it was that rock actually that was accompanying Musa alayhi salam, that they were carrying it and then he will hit it. But there is nothing to show evidence that it was that rock. So in terms of mu'jiza, it will mean take any rock, any rock without specifying. وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ أي لَا تُخَرِّبُوا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأُفْسَادِ. That is, do not commit, do not destroy through an act of corruption and mischief. Now, next verse.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وقفائها وفومها وعدسها وبصلها قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون.
نعم. وإذ قلتم يا موسى, and remember when you said يا موسى, O Moses, لن نصبر على طعام واحد. We cannot endure to be eaten one, we cannot endure only one kind of food. فادع لنا ربك. So pray to your Lord, يخرج لنا مما تنبت الأرض. Let him produce for us of what the earth grows. Min baqliha, from its herbs. Wa qithaiha, and cucumbers. Wa fumiha, and its garlic. Wa basaliha, and its onions. Wa fumiha, wa adasiha, and its lentils. وَبَصَلِهَا, and its onions. He said, قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَجْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Would you exchange what is better with for what is worse? اهبطوا مِصْرًا. Enter any town. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. And you shall find what you want. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ, and they were covered with humiliation and misery. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and they drew upon themselves the wrath of Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. This was because they went on rejecting the signs of Allah. وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and they kept slaying the messengers of Allah بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, without just cause. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. This was because they rebelled and they went on transgressing beyond the bounds of Allah. Now, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, remember when you said to you, Bani Israel, children of Israel, you see, the address is to the children of Israel, because this was in their history, and they were proud of it. So Allah is reminding them of the favor of Allah, and also the obstinacy of their forefathers. Remember, you said to Musa, to show you are that you are fed up with what Allah has given you. You are fed up with the favor of Allah, and you don't consider it, and you despise it in a way to show your despication, not your thankfulness to Allah. You are that we don't want this. Why every time manna wa salwa, manna wa salwa? Only is it the only thing we can eat?
Well, it is their request.
No, it was not their request. The manna wa salwa was brought to them not out of their request. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. They didn't have any food. They didn't have anywhere to eat or to look for food. They didn't have farmland. They didn't have a city to sit and look for food. Their food was coming to them, and they didn't have a stockpile of food which they were moving with, so that when they were in need of food, they would go to the store and bring the food. They had nothing. It was Allah who brought this to them. And instead of being thankful, they despised it. They showed that they are bored with it. They said, لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We cannot be patient with only one type of food. Then they requested that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He brings forth for them the normal food that is grown from the earth. They don't want something coming from heaven, they want from the earth. أَيْنَ بَاتِهَا أَلَّذِي لَيْسَ بِشَجَرٍ يَقُومُ عَلَىٰ سَاقِهَا. مِنْ بَقْلِهَا, that is the herbs, those that are, you know, herbs that are growing, that are spreading on earth, they don't have a stalk. These are is the meaning of herbs, they like greens, and greens, and cucumbers, wafum, alfum, that is the garlic, wal adas, wal basal, we know, al adas, you know them, the lentils, a kind of bean from the bean family, lentils, but it is not as big as beans. What do we call it in Hausa? Adas. It's not green peas. No, it's not like wakia soya. We don't have its name in Hausa. And cover people. But it doesn't look like beans. It doesn't look like beans. It is small. It is as though beans that has been crushed into small pieces. No, it's not white and soya. It's not soya bean.
It's soya bean.
Now, no, it's not acha. Acha is not beans. It's from a different family. You see beans, lentils, what is this? Full medami. Full. Green peas also, there are seven, they are of the same family. They are called in Arabic Al-Qattaniyun, Al-Qattani. They are classified as one. So even when you grow them, when you are going to give zakah, if you grew soya beans together with the normal beans and lentils, you will all join them together as one crop and give out the zakah. For the total, there are seven types. So Musa alayhi salam said, "Atastabdiluna alladhi huwa ajna billadhi huwa khair." That is, these kinds of foods that you are mentioning, they are the worst. Are you exchanging what is better for the worst? Because this is something that came down from heavens, and you want something that is low from the earth. So you are exchanging what is better for what is worse. This is appealing to their intellect and appealing to your good, to your common sense. You don't look for something that is worse in exchange for something that is better, which you have. And they were asked to go into any city that they can find. Some people, they translate Ihbitu Misran, Misra to be Egypt. It will entail they go back to Egypt. Some translators translate it as enter Egypt. But that is wrong, because if it is Egypt, it will say it will be mamnu min al-sarf. Ihbitu Misr. Udkhulu Misra. In the Quran, وَقَالَ ادْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِي. He didn't say ادْخُلُوا مِصْرًا, but here he said اِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا بِالصَّرْف. This is the secret of Arabic language. When he said اِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا, enter any town. But وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مِصْرَ, he didn't say مِنْ مِصْرًا, مِنْ مِصْرَ, from Egypt. That is a proper noun. That is why you don't have the tanween. They said Misra. When you make it without tanween, Misru al-Misr, Misru, that is Egypt. Misrun, any town. You see the secret of Arabic? That's how Arabic is. And that's why some translators, they fell into error. Now, when this became this thing that happened with them, it was I'm reading from the Taysir of As-Sa'di, Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman. I see you. So those who are following Ibn Juzay, you will not see it. He said this action from them of it shows their lack of patience and endurance, and it also shows that they did not respect their disrespect to the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they are despising the favor of Allah. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he rewarded them with a punishment that was commensurate to what they did. So they despised the favor of Allah, they humiliated what Allah did, they were disrespectful to the commands of Allah. Allah says, وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةِ. So Allah, he humiliated them. He imposed humiliation upon them. تُشَاهَدْ عَلَىٰ, and this was obvious in their bodies. They looked humiliated, and that is why, you know, in their history, the Jews, they were always humiliated. They used to always be humiliated because they humiliated the commands of Allah. They disrespected the commands of Allah, and it is the principle of Allah, al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. The reward will be commensurate with the kind of misdeed that you did. So when their own misdeed was disrespect to the signs of Allah, so Allah imposed disrespect on them. They humiliated the commands of Allah, Allah humiliated them. Al-maskana, that is misery. This was in their heart. So humiliation in their outward. And al-maskana, misery in their heart. So they were always full of anguish and misery. فَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَنفُسُهُمْ, so they did not have that feeling of self-respect and honor because of what they did, and their selves became despised, and their misery became the worst of miseries. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and they came back with the wrath of Allah on them. So it was not as though they came back with the bounty from Allah. No, they came back with the wrath of Allah. Dalika, these are the three things that happened to them. Al-dhilla, that is humiliation. Al-maskana, that is the misery. Waba'u bi-ghadabin min Allah, coming back, they encountered, they came back with the wrath of Allah upon them. It happened to them, it happened to them as a reward for what they did. That's why Allah says, dalika, ay, they deserved what they had. They deserved this wrath of Allah because they used to reject the signs of Allah that were the clear signs of Allah confirming the truth of what is with the messengers of Allah, which was explained to them. But when they rejected them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he chastised them, he punished them with his wrath. And also because of the second thing which they did, they used to slay, they used to kill the prophets of Allah, بغير حق, without a just cause. بغير الحق here to show that there was no basis for them to kill prophets of Allah. To kill an ordinary person without a just cause is evil in itself. What more of killing a prophet of Allah? Which they recognized that they were special people, they were prophets of Allah. They knew their position as prophets of Allah. They will go to them and ask and tell them to pray to Allah for them. They knew they were special individuals. And yet, they slayed them, they killed them. So to say that without a just cause, to show the evil, the extent of the evil which they did. And also so as to show that they did it not out of mistake. They did it intentionally without a just cause. That was the second thing, dalika bima asaw, and that was on account of what they did of disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wa kanu ya'tadun, and they were transgressing against the slaves of Allah. Al-Isyan, that is between them and Allah, they disobeyed, they rebelled against the commands of Allah. And transgression regarding the rights of others, like the killing of prophets. Because Al-I'tida is between human beings, between themselves. When you deny someone his right, that is Al-I'tida, that is an act of transgression. And this is the acts of disobedience, they lead to one another. For instance, forgetfulness, forgetting the commands of Allah and not paying attention to the commands of Allah, it can lead you to minor sins. And then from the minor sins, when you commit minor sins, they will lead you to major sins. And when you commit major sins, they will lead you to types of innovation and even disbelief. They say, al-ma'asi barid al-kufr. Acts of disobedience, they are the postal line that leads to disbelief. So we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to protect us from evil. Na'am? Mm-hmm. No, it's not all of them. It's not all of them, because like when they worshipped the calf, Musa alayhi salam, Harun, he did not worship with them. And there were those who did not worship with them. That was why he said, إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولي. I was afraid that you will say I divided between the ranks of the Bani Israel, because there were some who did not worship and they were with Harun. So even in the act of disobedience, it's not all of them. But here in the Quran, the address is to them all, because they the Jews of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were happy to mention the history of their people. It is as though they accepted what they did of this act. So that is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he addresses as though it is the action of all of them. He says the address in these verses is to the children of Israel, those that were in existence during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quran was being revealed. And these acts that are mentioned here, they were addressed as though even though they were the acts of their foreparents, but because it was they were being addressed as though it was their action, as though they were the ones who committed it. Why? Because they used to praise their foreparents, and they used to regard themselves as excellent people. They used to do tazkiyah and purify themselves, and also they used to claim that they were better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who believed in him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he explained this was the kind of past that they had, because they have been proud of their past, and because of that they were saying that they regarded themselves as better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So Allah exposed them to show how evil they were. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Look at the itnab, the elongation in mentioning the evil that they did, so as to give a weapon in the hands of the Muslims, in the hands of the Prophet's companions. Show that you are saying you are this, you are that. Were you not this? Were you not that? Because the Arabs didn't know before the Quran, but when the Quran was revealed, they were exposed. And also, Naam.
No. You say they are proud of the past, of the ancient people. Do they have any revelation that they go to the prophet, that they are...
Yeah, better. No, except claim. إِلَّا وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيُّ. There are those who were unlettered. They didn't know. They don't know even what is in the books except vain hopes. It's just false claims that they used to have. No, they didn't have anything. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala exposed their past. And this was something which was with them. They couldn't deny it. They said, no, we are not like that. Because it is in their books, it is in their history, and they knew it. It was said that one time, in a single day, they killed 70 prophets, and then in the end they went to their market as though they did nothing. And also, this is to show that they are not people of patience and perseverance, and they were not people of good manners. They were terrible people, no manners. And we can see, you can see from what they are doing now. Very immoral, yes. They didn't have moral. So if this was the case regarding their forefathers, what about those, while, you know, their forefathers, you will expect that they will be better in morals than the current ones. So what would you expect from the ones that we are living with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? what will you expect from them? They will be worse. They will be worse than the past. Also, among the lessons from this, it shows that the favor of Allah on the people that have gone, past, it's a favor that continues to flow up to those who came later. Because favor on parents, it is a favor on the offspring. So they were addressed with that, because it was something that happened to their foreparents. Because the favors, it will also encompass them, all of them. Also, the fact that they were addressed directly for actions which they did not commit, but the people before them committed, it shows that a community that is upon a religion, it comes together and helps one another for its own benefit. To the extent that the previous ones and the ones that come, the later generations, they live in the same epoch, in the same time. Because what the others did of good, the benefit will come to the whole community. And what they did of evil, the harm will come to the whole community. And also, because most of those actions, the Jews, they were not objecting to them. They were actually happy. And they regarded the acts of disobedience as something that was acceptable. It's part of their history. Now, all these, they are part of the wisdom of Allah in apportioning the in addressing them with the actions of those that had gone before them. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
نعم. إن الذين آمنوا. Indeed, those who believe. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا and those who followed the Jewish scriptures, وَالصَّابِئِينَ وَالنَّصَارَى and the Christians, وَالصَّابِئِينَ and the Sabians, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ whoever believes in Allah, whoever believed in Allah, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and the last day, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا and worked righteousness, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ they shall have their reward with their Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ on them there shall be no fear. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ no shall they grieve. This verse is referring to the Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He brings his judgment regarding the different sects, the different religious denominations. And this is a judgment on the people of the book, specifically on the people of the book. The polytheists are not mentioned. That is those who claimed following a revealed religion. All those that believed. The belief that is mentioned here is belief in their articles of faith before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, if so that when these people are being mentioned, so you will not think that all members of that religious denomination are condemned. No, whoever among them he believed in what was revealed to them before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, and also walked righteously, he will have his reward with Allah. So if it is talking about belief before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why was those who believed mentioned at the beginning, in the beginning, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed. The meaning of those who believed are the Muslims, those who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, those who believed in Musa alayhi salam. So for those who believed in what was revealed to them on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Jews, those who believed in what was revealed to them on the tongues of Musa alayhi salam. And the Christians, also those who believed in what was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. Wasabi'in, the Sabians, that is the Sabians, there are differences of opinion regarding them. Some regarded them as Zoroastrians who were worshipping fire. Zoroastrians, Zoroaster, they claim he used to be Zaradesh in Arabic, the religion of the Persians. But here, some ulama of tafsir, they regard the Sabians as a sect of Christians. From among the, it's a sect of Christianity. So these were followers of religion that were revealed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now this verse is showing to us that it's an expression of the justice of the Quran. When the bad things that the children of Israel did are mentioned, in order for us not to think that they were all condemned, you know, just like the question our brother asked, were they all like that? So Allah, he mentioned this as a fact, that the Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, and the Sabians, these are all claiming to follow revealed religion. Whoever among them believed in Allah and believed in the last day and walked righteously, he will have his reward. So it is not because when these people are mentioned to say that the whole Jews are condemned. No, from among the children of Bani Israel, those who believed in Allah on the last day and walked righteously, they will have their reward. And the same judgment applies also to the Muslims. That it is not just by saying that we are this, we are that. ليس بأمانيكم ولا أماني أهل الكتاب. It is not by your vain hope, by your vain desire, and the desire, by the vain desires of those who were the people of the book. من يعمل سوءا يجزى به. Whoever committed transgression, he will be rewarded for that. ومن يعمل من الصالحات من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون فتيلا. And whoever walked righteously, male or female, and he is a believer, then for those they will enter paradise, and they will not be denied even the an-naqir, the point on the seed of the dead fruit. So this is the justice of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So this is the essence of this verse. And then it is after this has been said, then it is as though an interlude, you know, in mentioning the bad habits of Bani Israel, the bad history. In between, Allah mentioned this. So that don't carry your thoughts away from what is the truth. This is the justice of the Quran. So it is indeed Allah has put a lot of wisdom in his book, wisdom that will actually leave you bewildered about the high position of Allah's revelation.
May Allah illuminate our hearts and the wisdom of the Quran. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. إياك.